We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
One of those things, couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up. Pimp, if you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What are you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Good morning and happy Friday. It is the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Willie P once again in for Andy, who is taking the long birthday weekend. He'll be back on Monday to hopefully recap a Falcons victory for you as the Falcons get ready to take on the Chicago Bears. Plenty on this weekend, including the opening of SEC play. Good morning, Randy Mack. Happy Friday to you.
Hey, what's happening, man? Yeah, it is the Midday Show. Happy hour. Thanks to our friends over at Chattanooga Whiskey for sponsoring this. This is our four-hour thing, and you all know this ain't the first time we had it, so show us your pitcher drinks, what you're drinking now, what you're drinking later, what you're drinking after work, maybe what you're drinking this weekend, and hopefully we'll have a Falcons win to talk about, you know, have some good thoughts on Monday, some good calls on Monday, Willie P, because they really ain't been the happiest of calls the past 2 weeks, so let's hopefully, and we'll talk about this game throughout the show. But, yeah, it's a happy Friday because, God dog it, damn, SEC and my Bulldogs are coming back tomorrow, man. I'm talking about we walk around. All us kids went to school in the Georgia T-shirts. I got mine on. We are so excited for this weekend, man, and it's been a long time coming.
Don't worry. I don't have my Georgia shirt on because I know how you get about that.
Well, I wouldn't want you to wear it, so. I wouldn't want you to wear it, yeah.
I got you.
I believe you rep your own school, damn it.
Right, I know.
Don't become no fan. Yeah, rep your own damn school, damn it, because I know I would.
Trust me, we got an uphill battle. We got our own problems to deal with against Alabama on Saturday. But we got a plenty to get to today. Unfortunately, the injury report for the Falcons yesterday didn't leave a lot more to be desired when it came to what we saw on Wednesday. Still not a lot of good updates, including the fact that, once again, Julio Jones did not practice as a result of the hamstring injury he aggravated in the loss to Dallas, and it has many people speculating, including Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, about whether or not he's going to play. I think those of us, though, who are close to the situation, who have seen Julio develop over his career, it takes something catastrophic, I think, for him not to be able to play. I know a hamstring injury, you know, soft tissue nature like that, Randy, it's always going to be aggravating, but I feel like once you get him up on the field, you get that thing tested, you get that hamstring warm, I think he can still be a contributor on the field. We talked about it yesterday. It's not just about what he can do on the field, but it's about the kind of coverage that rolls to his side that opens up things for Ridley, Gage, Hurst, and others.
Yeah, I mean, he is a he is that kind of a player that everybody you got a key on, and you know, I think that when we look at Julio Jones throughout the throughout his career, it's been one of those things where he's played through probably a lot worse than what's going on with him now. And the one thing about it, Willie P, is with the hamstring, you don't want to injured to a point where you're going to miss a lot of time. Because the one thing about hamstring, they're a tricky injury that, you know, me and Chuck Reese says all the time, if they say a week, you usually have to take two just to make sure. And as explosive of an athlete as Julio Jones is, man, it just takes one burst off the line and something might go wrong. But, I mean, I don't count out Julio. I'm sure it's going to be a game time decision, just like a lot of the guys around the league that are dealing with these hamstrings. You see Devontae Adams is dealing with one, and from what the reports are, is he's going to be a game time decision too. So basically, you know, they'll take him out there on Sunday morning when they get over to the stadium, and then they'll work him out and see how he feels. I anticipate Julio Jones playing, but if not, I mean, there's so many other things that the Falcons may be able to do, because you won't replace a Julio Jones with a lineup, but you can do certain things because he's not out there. Because if he's not out there, you best believe the coverage is rolling to Calvin Ridley. So who else is going to step up? Maybe a little bit more Todd Gurley if they're able to sustain a run and not get caught behind the Bears, which I don't think they should. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, this is where we're at right now. Hell, the Falcons ain't the only team dealing with injuries. Did you see all the list of players that are injured and, you know, just questionable season ending? I mean, it's been a straight mass unit these first 2 weeks in the NFL.
We did see a couple of guys on the Falcons improve. Both Foye and KZ, who didn't practice Wednesday, were limited in practice, so they were able to do a little bit of work Thursday, but still no participation for Kendall Sheffield. Dante Fowler didn't practice either, and neither did Tack McKinley. McGarry doesn't look like he's going to play this week, and Luke Stocker didn't practice Thursday after being limited on Wednesday. But I did want to kind of stop down on that a little bit, Randy, because we talk a lot about how much has been taken out of the preseason, and with this year that was so peculiar when it comes to the ramp up, you didn't get the usual off-season conditioning program that a lot of teams usually have with OTAs and mini camps. You only had really a month and a half of really on-field work, and even a little bit less than that with actually situations where coaches could actually be involved. I'm wondering if the lack of full speed nature that we saw during the preseason is leading to a lot of these soft tissue injuries and even these ACL injuries, which you saw from a lot of guys last weekend, including Saquon Barkley, who were out for the season.
Well, the one thing about it, Will, and I'll just speak for myself. It's hard for me to put a credence on how the ACL tears. You know, I just don't. I mean, I can't sit up there and say because they didn't have a training camp and they didn't have a preseason that's the reason he tore his ACL, because he could have tore his damn ACL in the preseason. And we've seen that before. The one thing about it is that, you know, they are, you know, I go back the last time we had a situation kind of like this was, you know, when we had the lockout or whatever. And, you know, we went all the way through the summer. We didn't have any OTAs. We didn't have anything like that. Now, we did have preseason games and all that. But, I mean, when you look at soft tissue issues, they happen all the time. They happen all the time. Now, I mean, I've seen it. You know, you've seen the point where, you know, even though they have the preseason, the regular training camp, you still see guys coming into the season dealing with hamstrings and everything. So I look at it as bad luck. That's just how I look at it. Now, other people might view it the other way. I'm not a doctor. And so I hate to say, yeah, the reason that they're tearing ACLs and all that is because, you know, they had no preseason. It's a different game now, because I think when you look at maybe them not being able to be as physical, you know, Willie P, as far as hitting each other and all that, that might have something to do with some injuries. But like, just when tendons and stuff pop, I just don't know. I don't know, because I mean, it just keeps happening. I mean, I've never seen, and since I was playing, I never seen at any point, even when they have the full offseason, they're like, people tearing Achilles, people tearing ACL. I've never seen anything as rampant as it is nowadays. So is it something in the training that you're doing away from football? I don't know. I mean, everybody wants to have this new age of training their bodies and all that thing. I just always look at it like this. I know that you train year-round and everything, but I think a lot of guys don't rest their bodies. You know, the bodies break down. Because the NFL season, Willie P, it's rough on your body. And as soon as it's over and you start going back to ramping up your workouts, that's bad for your body, I would say.
I would say that you're certainly right on that. And I'm wondering, too, you know, there's a difference between being in shape and being in football shape. So I do feel like guys continue to train during the offseason, but not necessarily doing things that help what you can and can't do on the football field. But we'll get into the Falcons a lot today, of course, on a Falcons Friday, getting you ready for the game against the Bears. 1 o'clock, we'll have it here for you, of course, on your home for the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Full day of coverage on Sunday. Sam and Greg have you in the morning. Yours truly and Hugh Douglas will be there for the Wait For It tailgate show from 9 to 11. And then Chris Goforth, who we'll talk to today on the midday show at 11:20. He will be there, of course, with Harry Douglas for the pregame show leading you up to Wes and Arch, who have the call of the game at 1 on Sunday at the Benz. We did get some good news yesterday from the Braves on Max Fried, even though the team lost 4-2. It looks like the close call is just that, a close call, but not necessarily anything bad when it comes to Max Fried. The tweak of the ankle on fielding the bunt Wednesday night didn't exactly lead to anything more in terms of the test that they found. Looks like he's going to be on track to start game one of the postseason, which will happen on Wednesday against a to-be-determined opponent. Braves dodge a bullet here, Randy.
Oh, yeah. I would say that, Willie P, man. It was good to get the confirmation that he's going to be fine and he'll be ready on Wednesday to start the series against whoever they play. But speaking of yesterday, I thought I thought Ian Anderson was fine. I thought he was fine. I didn't lose any confidence in him or anything like that. I thought he was fine. I hate to see that, I always hate when you don't give up the actual earned runs, but then they go on your docket. I've always hated that rule. But at the same time, I mean, the confidence that I have in him getting ready for the playoffs, because it does look like he's going to be one of the three guys that's going to pitch in that series next week. I mean, hey, what did we talk about Willie P yesterday? I just hope he does well. I mean, I can't have any expectations that he's going to go out there and shut everybody down. I hope he does well. I mean, yesterday, confident, went out there, had some good stuff. As they like to say, as my man Paul Birch, had some good stuff. And and you can continue to grow off of that, man, because, you know, they got the weekend series this weekend against – who are they going against this weekend?
Boston.
Thank you. They're going up to they're going against Boston, so maybe them bats can get hot and keep them hot, because last time they were in Boston, they went up there and just put foots all in the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm. And they'll be down here beginning tonight, tomorrow, as well as Sunday. Really not much to play for. They have a two-game lead over the Cubs for the number two seed in Major League, the Eastern, or at least in the National League, basically, the way that the seedings work there. They have that two-game lead, and they have the tiebreaker. So it would take a Boston sweep of the Braves and a Cubs sweep in their weekend series for Chicago to overtake Atlanta. So it looks like Atlanta is locked into that number two seed. I mentioned the big college football weekend that we have here, not just the SEC getting underway, but some more big action and some big news yesterday from out west. The Pac-12 says that they are going to play. They're going to play. It's going to be a six-game regular season, and they're all going to play an extra game on the weekend of the championship, kind of like what they did with the Big Ten. But I feel a little weird about the fact that they're now coming to the party, and it's like, oh, you're here. Like, it's almost kind of like the party's already gotten going. Everybody's already gotten a little sauced and ready to go, and the Pac-12 shows up late, and they're still sober. It's like, really? Who invited you, right?
Hey, man. When I saw this, Willie, because I think we did mention yesterday that they were going to have their vote or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just laughed. I mean, of course they're going to come back. Now it goes back to, you know, if you get a 6-0 Pac-12 team or a 7-0 Pac-12 team, do they get a spot in the college football playoff?
No.
I don't know. I'm not one to sit up here, or you got to play this amount of games. I just look at it as the fairness part of it, because I've been saying this. I mean, you know, if Ohio State is 7-0, and they win the Big Ten championship, you're going to tell me that Ohio State won the best three teams in college football, one of the best four teams in college football? I mean, I'm not going to believe that. So, I mean, it's such a double-edged sword that it's going to be a whole lot of controversy when, you know, the late December comes around and you're trying to decide between these teams. If you have a team that's played four more games than another squad, I mean, that is going to be the tricky part about it. But, I mean, I said for the Big Ten, damn the adults and the presidents and everything. I'm happy for the kids and the coaches because they get an opportunity to go out there and do what they always wanted to do.
Also, big news in the college football world. If you are a fan of an FBS, a Division I college football team, you are officially bowl eligible. So congratulations.
That's great.
If you're playing football this year, that is. Well, can you continue to wrap around all that over the course of our show? Of course, we want you to text us your drinks, what you have today on this Happy Hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. We'll get you into what's trending coming up next, including a big weekend for the Five Stripes. It's a packed midday show on a Friday. Andy and Randy, Willie P. and for Andy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And online at radio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
You know, like every week, it's a big challenge, but I think we have a great plan in place. And, you know, as a group, like I said earlier, and we feel really good and confident about it. So keep building that and bring Sunday and execute and put up a lot of points.
tackle Jake Matthews here in What's Trending on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Willie P in for Andy. This is the best defense I think they've played at this point of the season, Randy. I know that Jamal Adams was a menace and a terror in the backfield for Seattle against the Falcons in week one, but you look all across the other side of the football for Chicago, they've got game wreckers. Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, Trevathan, Robert Quinn, Akeem Hicks. I mean, there's playmakers all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, that was what we were talking about yesterday, as far as they got impact players at all three levels. And, you know, they're playing at a high level right now. So you're absolutely correct. They pose a different type dynamic because of the pressure that on the edges that Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack can bring. But also, you can't just leave balls hanging in the air, because Eddie Jackson is one of the best free safeties in all of football, and Roquan's playing at a high level. But I think this is all about what the Falcons do defensively. They can't, you know, they can't be that team. They can't be the get right team, man. I think that's what I'll say. They can't be the get right team. You know, the Bears are 2-0. I don't think they're legit 2-0, but hell, I mean, 2-0 is 2-0. It's hard to win football games in the National Football League. So, yeah, I'll give the credit where the credit is due. But, yeah, this is a game. When people say must win, Will, I always say every week is a must win. You don't want to lose. So, I mean, you're cool with losing if I think you don't look at every week as a must win. But the Falcons got to have this game. Don't know the status of a lot of the players, but I don't think it's going to be that bad, Willie P. They still got a couple more days, and it's amazing. I'm sorry, 2.5 days, I'll say, because of the morning of Sunday. And it's amazing how that body can heal in those 2 days, man. And I've been there. You're like, I don't know if I'm going to go. And then when you wake up Sunday morning, like, okay, I'm good. So that's what I'll anticipate, especially for Julio Jones, and we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, this is a big game for the Falcons, man. You do not want to go down 0-3.
There's no medicine or magical elixir that matches that of waking up on a game day Sunday and all of a sudden just feeling like you're ready to go. I think the best way to attack this defense is with the horizontal passing game. They're going to need to get the screen game going. I feel like this could be a game where you see Todd Gurley be more of a feature back outside of the backfield when it comes to swing passes, because one thing that we know, when you have guys who like to rush the passer, they like to get upfield. And I feel like the best way to make them off balance is to get them running from side to side, almost kind of taking a page out of the way that teams have attacked the Falcons this year, because there's been times where we've seen the Falcons caught off schedule when it comes to their defense. I feel like they can certainly put some of that into their offensive game plan against Chicago.
Well, they got to figure out a way to first of all, they got to find a way to make explosive plays. I think that's something that you go into the game every week trying to do as far as your game plan. And I think you're right. I think they got to find a way to get Todd Gurley going early. Like you said, well, screen pass, some find ways to get the ball into his hands. If Julio Jones isn't there, I would expect him to be a bigger part of the passing game if he's not there. But I think that one thing that, you know, and I'm surprised by it, that they've been able to run the ball, you know, as far as the attempts, will it be? You know, you don't know how Dirk Cutter is gonna call the game. A lot of people say he has a quota of how many runs he wants to run. And last week we were talking about, we wanted to see Todd Gurley get some carries in the second half, which he did. But at the same time, they weren't successful runs because they didn't win the damn football game. So hopefully you can get that going this weekend. I mean, the Bears, they got playmakers everywhere. You know, when you look at the running back situation, I like Montgomery coming out of the draft out of Iowa State. He's a big back. He's averaging right at five yards a carry, so you got to put your pads on him, you know, because he's one of those backs, Will P, he gets stronger as the game goes on, and we know how explosive a Tyreek Cohen is out of the backfield, so he's going to be a definite challenge in that passing game, and also in the draw game. They run a lot of draws with him, and he's able to, you know, get behind those big offensive line, because he ain't nothing but about 4'6", but he gets through that line, and he is good and gone.
Just don't make Mitch Trubisky look like he's the best quarterback the Bears have ever had. That's a franchise that really hasn't had a lot to say at the quarterback position. I think the best one, you could probably go back to Red Grange if you're going to go all the way back that far. Maybe McMahon, but it don't make Mitch Trubisky look like he's looked the last 2 weeks. Let him look like Mitch Trubisky that we've seen over the course of the rest of his career, and maybe get a victory, hopefully get a victory, coming up on Sunday. And it's a big Sunday. A lot of games, a couple of 2-0 teams with the Rams and Bills getting together. Also Packers, Saints. Monday night it's Chiefs and Ravens. It's a kind of sneaky stacked Sunday here, Randy.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun, man. It is, you know, I know everybody wants to make the Monday night game, the rivalry between Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, the Dallas going up to Seattle. That's going to be a big game for them. I mean, it's just going to be a great slate of games. Excited to see the Monday night game. Want to see what improvements have the Saints tried to make. I don't know if Michael Thomas is going to play. Aaron Rodgers is playing at an unreal level right now. And, I mean, you know, it's still early in the year, but, I mean, you got some significant games, and this might be maybe – well, yeah, so far I'm talking about just top to bottom as far as matchups. I think this might be the best week so far in the NFL.
Yeah, the two teams that have beaten us in the last 2 weeks play each other, Cowboys and Seahawks. They have the nationally televised game on Fox at 4:25, Seahawks and Cowboys. And also Cam Newton gets to see Chucky for the first time as a Raiders head coach. The Raiders at the Patriots at Gillette Stadium. First time in 15 years that Bill Belichick and John Gruden have met as coaches on the field. Of course, last night at Truist Park, a deluge. Had a lot of rain last night early, but they needed to get that game in because of playoff implications. The Marlins do beat the Braves 4-2. Brian Snitker, though, does feel good about what he saw from Ian Anderson after he pitched pretty well for six innings and then hit a little bit of a wall.
I feel good. Yeah, absolutely. I feel real confident about him. You know, just the way he's handled all the different situations that's been put in front of him. And I feel really good about him starting that second game.
Braves committed four errors defensively. I'm not going to get on Anderson for that. The run that he let up were unearned. So I think from that perspective, you take a little bit of the positive out of Anderson. And I do feel like when it comes down to it, you got to give credit to some of these guys who have really stepped their game up between Anderson. Kyle Wright also has looked a lot better in his last two starts. I know that we don't have Cole Hamels, and you know what we could have actually expected from him was, again, I think a little bit shaky at best. But I do feel like at least if you get Freed back and he's able to go on Wednesday, I like having these three guys combined with that lineup that we have to show for it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, so far, so good. That's how I look at it. It's always, you know, it's always good, Willie P, when you're playing well going into the playoffs. And right now the Braves are playing well. They're pitching well. And you just got to continue to grow from that. And, you know, like I said, I thought the last night game was sloppy. And, of course, I think the weather had a lot to do with that. But, you know, not discouraged about what I saw from Ian Anderson. So, as Nick said, he's going to go probably he's probably going to go on that Thursday. So, we got that set. So, you just got to wait for the Kyle Wright and everybody like that. But, I mean, I'm just going to hope. I'm not going to, you know, get down and dump some of these young wanks or whatever. Keep doing your thing, guys, because, I mean, there's nobody else. That's the reality of it, Willie P. Ain't nobody else. So, I mean, you know, what did he say on any given Sunday to Jamie Foxx? Ain't nobody else. So I can't bench you. Ain't got nobody else. So exactly. I mean, and that's the reality that we are in with this Falcons rotation. But I mean, I'm excited for this playoff run. I love the demeanor of the team, saying basically showing, okay, we've been here before. We've won the NL East. Cool. What now? And they got to find a way. The first series is always the hardest one to get, Willie P. They got to find a way to get this one.
I always like to bring out the old Spurrier quote. You know, the coach's biggest motivation tool is the bench. Unfortunately, that's not
the case.
That's not something that Brian Snitker has at his disposal right now, unfortunately. It is the Midday Show on a Happy Hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Behold, Chattanooga Whiskey, the only highball Tennessee whiskey crafted in downtown Chattanooga, Tennessee. Pac-12 has announced that they are coming back with seven games, six during a regular season, and then they will have the championship week, which will have a seventh game for all the teams. It'll be determined by seeding, very similar to the way that it works for the Big Ten. They have a couple more games, though, to the Big Ten. Pac-12, again, only going with seven. Here is their commissioner, Larry Scott.
With our championship concluding the couple of days before that final CFP meeting, we absolutely have the opportunity to have a team in the mix for the playoff. And I know our teams and our student athletes are coming back eager to compete for that.
Can you not, Larry Scott? Can you not? Like, seriously? Like, just come on. Well, like, the Pac-12 hasn't had a factor in the college football playoff for the past couple of years, and I don't feel like they will this year. Like, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be snooty. I don't mean to be Mr. SEC, you know, beating my chest and banging my chest up here, but right now, everybody kind of sees what kind of joke you guys are. That's just me.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we know that they're the little sister. We know that, the little brother. We get all that. But the only thing that I can see that might have an argument is if USC goes undefeated, because we know that they are, when they're relevant, the Pac-12 is usually relevant. And if SC could find a way to go to undefeated, they'll have an argument. Or at least they will pose that argument because they are SC. You know, and that's the only way I can see a Pac-12 team getting in, you know, if it's SC. But – you know, who knows? I'm happy for the kids. I'm happy for the coaches because they get a chance to do what they love to do, and that's play and coach football and everything. But, I mean, this has been a cluster from the beginning. Everybody knows that. And so, you know, it was only a matter of time before the Pac-12 just tucked its tail and like, okay, guys, we're going to play now. And, you know, and we knew this was – I didn't know this. I can't even sit there and say I knew they were going to come back all along. I knew they were going to come back when the Big Ten decided to come back because they're not going to be the only ones left out.
I was going to say, and we were talking about this on our pre-show call, if you think the Big Ten has presidents and chancellors that don't care about sports, the Pac-12 really doesn't have presidents and chancellors that care about sports, especially UCLA. They don't give a flying you-know-what about athletics. So I was surprised to see them come back, but again, I don't know if they'll be a factor. I do know the Georgia Bulldogs will be a factor this weekend. They open up against Arkansas this weekend in Fayetteville. Thoughts, of course, on the quarterback situation. Here's Caris Jackson.
Just like catching the ball from any other quarterback, has a powerful arm, has a great spin on the ball. And actually, during the offseason, just being able to, like, come up to the facility sometimes, just being able to, like, make that connection by, like, throwing with all the quarterbacks. Actually, I know this offseason we took it more serious by getting the extra throws in, getting that chemistry right. And this offseason, I feel like all the quarterbacks, they threw well. And with DeJuan's speed and stuff, it's very special for him to be able to have an arm and speed as well that could be as a weapon.
One of the most dynamic wide receivers on the Georgia football team. Talking about the guy that we think is going to be the starting quarterback on Saturday in Fayetteville, DeJuan Mathis. Still no word yet on whether or not JT Daniels will be medically cleared to go on Saturday. I think you and I are in concert. We think Mathis will be the guy taking the first snap for the Bulldogs on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure about that. Always good to hear from Folk Valley's finest, Mr. Jackson, right there. But, all sides point to DeJuan Mathis being the quarterback tomorrow. And we'll just see how they game plan around him, man. I'm excited to see this young man in a Georgia uniform. I'm excited to see those Georgia uniforms tomorrow also.
Send us your drinks on a Happy Hour Friday brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey on Twitter at Willie P. Style, at RandyMac81, at Brian_Gephardt, and at Wendy Radio. Show us what you're drinking. We'll give you a shout-out on the radio. Also, it's a Sports Jeopardy Day, AMA Day, fantasy football questions. Plenty of things and questions and abilities for you guys to connect with us here on this Happy Hour Friday. Big deal, small deal, no deal is next. Brian Gephardt talks about a potential end toward the series in the West, although you could say the Jazz have the Lakers right where they want them. Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Willie P. in for Andy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The world of sports has changed, and when it comes to Atlanta sports fans, no one keeps you up to date like we can. We're covering what matters here, locally in the world of sports. For continuing updates, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Liking to look at some of the drinking pictures that we're getting here on social media at Willie P. Style, at RandyMac81, and at 929 The Game on a Happy Hour Friday brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Shout out to a guy who's in the 470 on the text line who has two fingers of Elmer T. Lee working. Also, shout out to Kenny, who's listening on the radio.com app from Norfolk, saying that he wants a big win on Sunday, rise up all day long. Johnny in Tallapoosa asks this question, and kind of goes back to what we were talking about, Randy, about the Pac-12. You know, I just don't know if a 7-0 team out of the Pac-12, whether it's Oregon, USC, or somebody else, I don't know if you can stake a claim over, say, a 10-1 Georgia or a 10-1 Alabama, loser of an SEC championship game. I don't see how you can stack their resume up against a team from the SECs, especially when you think about just the wide gap between the level of play in those two conferences and the amount of games that are played by the SEC as opposed to the Pac-12. I don't see a legitimate argument for it unless you have a team with two losses.
They're going to do it, though. Like I said, I don't think it'll happen, but I'm telling you now, because of the brand of what USC is, they're going undefeated. They will be in a conversation. They will make an argument. I'm not saying that the argument is valid. All I'm saying is that SC is a different brand. I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't think SC is that good, but, I mean, in 2020, hell, I don't know what the hell will happen. They might go undefeated. I'm just saying that it'll be a point where they will be considered. I just had this feeling, because if it's SC, is anybody else, I don't even think Oregon would get that consideration. I think SC would because it's Southern Cal. That's the only reason.
I see this on Twitter right now. Andy is tweeting right now. People are getting on him because they think it was a soft move to take off for your birthday. I don't know how you feel about that. I have no problem with it.
None of your damn business.
I have no problem with it because it allows me to get me some time on the air with my man Randy Mack. So I have no problem with Andy taking off on his birthday.
Take off. It ain't none of your damn business when I take my days off.
I got you. No, trust me.
Andy don't talk like I do. I talk like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm talking for Andy, because Andy's nice. Is a nice guy. None of your damn business when I take off.
Say it with your chest, Randy Mac, for a change. Let's get to Brian.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gephardt. On Andy and Randy Midday Show.
It's brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, the only Tennessee high malt whiskey crafted in beautiful downtown Chattanooga. Good morning, Brian.
What up, B?
Hey, guys. I'm just looking forward to tomorrow. SEC slate, full slate of games, and 4 p.m. the Dogs taking on Arkansas. I know you were just talking about the quarterback situation, but found this interesting and wanted to start here with Big Deal. So Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal. ESPN ranking JT Daniels or DeJuan Mathis as the most important player in the college football playoff chase?
I say it's I'm not going to put too much. I'll say it's a small deal, and here's why. We don't know what to expect. I know why they're saying it's a big deal, because Georgia's ranked where they are and national championship hopes and all those things that rest on the quarterback play, but I don't really think that's a big deal. I say small deal.
I would say if it was a different team other than Georgia, like again, a different makeup, a different philosophy behind that, I'd say it's a bigger deal, but we all know where Georgia butters its bread. They butter its bread at the line of scrimmage and running the football. I think it's a bigger deal that we really don't have an established running back that you can count on with experience right now. I know that people are going to make a big deal about DeJuan Mathis starting or JT Daniels starting or maybe Stetson Bennett or Carson Beck or whatever. I'm really more curious to see who emerges as the featured tailback, whether it's Zeus, whether it's Cook, somebody else. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that develops, because we've been pretty blessed over the course of the last couple of years with the running backs that Georgia has had. Yeah. I wonder who's going to be that guy who is the feature back this year.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Will. I mean, I think they'll figure it out just fine. I think they'll figure it out against Arkansas just fine in the running game, but it is going to be interesting to see who emerges as far as from a carries perspective and how that's broken down, certainly. Moving on to NBA from last night, big deal, small deal, no deal. The Lakers going up 3-1 against the Nuggets behind another 30-point game from Anthony Davis. And after making the decision to start Dwight Howard, who had a double-double in this one, at center against Nikola Jokic.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal because Denver's been here 3-1. Now, I don't think LeBron and his team will blow a 3-1 lead. But, I mean, I know Denver last – I watched pretty much that whole game last night. Denver had them sweating. Every time they thought they were going to put them away, Denver made a play. Jamal Murray's been playing out of his mind. Those shots he hit last night were just straight ridiculous. The young man has arrived. But I look at it from a Lakers standpoint is, why the hell in the last two games – does Anthony Davis have 5 damn rebounds? That's my biggest issue. I'm like, what the hell is he doing? I know he turned his ankle last night. I love the energy Dwight Howard brought last night, but yeah, I don't think that Denver's going to come back against a LeBron-led 3-1 team.
Now, I think they're playing him a lot more on the perimeter defensively, so I think it's a positioning issue when
I don't even want to hear that, man. He should not have had his first rebound in the third quarter last night.
I'm not saying you're wrong. The thing that I'll say is that Murray worked hard for all 32 of those points. Like that's the thing that I look at that and I say, oh my goodness, how in the world did he still have 32 with how hard he had to work?
You're absolutely right. And that was the thing, Willie. It was all max effort from him. Then, you know, we do know that like down the stretch, LeBron just said, you know what, I got him, and had a hard time scoring. That was a foul. That one play, it was a foul, but they didn't call it. Denver, you know, they pose that matchup that has given them all kinds of problems. And last night, LeBron, he just wasn't sure offensively to me. That's my opinion. He didn't shoot the ball well. But hey, they got to win because you know Anthony Davis is a damn animal, man.
And he looked good on defense.
When it was time to lock down, they locked down last night.
I think they'll win Game 5, but I'm with you. I don't think that Utah pulls the deed for a third consecutive series.
Big deal, small deal, no deal. All the early headlines that Deion Sanders has made this week, becoming the head coach of Jackson State and offering his son a scholarship to join him there as well.
I think it's a big deal, man. That's a big-time get for HBCU. Now, hopefully Prime, you know, he can get some things going down there, get some buzz and everything. I know he just offered the number one D-tackle in America. And the kid, you know, he paid a big deal out of it, which is good. But I just want to see what Prime can do down there, man. You know, I know this is something that he's been wanting to do, get into coaching college football. It's really cool that he offered his son. And, you know, I mean, did you see the introductory introductory thing? That was so – if that wasn't Prime, I don't know what is.
That somebody said this, and I think it's true. There's nobody better at being Deion Sanders than Deion Sanders.
Nobody.
Like, he's just – has such a presence about him, and it's infectious.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, man. It is. Prime is a good man, you know, and he's a guy that, you know, these kids will, you know, he might steal some of these top prospects to go down there. I don't know, you know, but I was excited when he was able to get that job. I remember a couple years ago when he was rumored to get the Florida State job and all that, you know, but Prime, he's going to be down there. Prime's going to be Prime. He's going to be the flashiest coach on the sideline. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
So big deal, small deal, no deal. The Jets have wide receivers Jamison Crowder, Breshad Perriman, and Denzel Mims all hurt, which led to this fun quote from Adam Gase when he was asked about who's going to be playing wide receiver for the Jets this Sunday. Quote, whoever's got a pulse right now, we're ready to go.
It's a no deal. The Jets stink.
They're terrible. Awful.
They stink. And I'm calling everybody who came to me talking about, Adam Gase is a – I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, you should have heard of Willie Pierre. Oh, no. Oh, no, dude. All my old teammates that played at Denver. Oh, no, Adam Gase is going to be a superstar.
Thanks,
yeah,
B.
Okay. Thanks, B.
Yep.
NFL No Huddle next. NFL No Huddle next. We'll talk about what happened last night, a big weekend in the NFL that comes your way as we continue on a four-hour happy hour on the Midday Show. Andy and Randy, Willie P. and Ferrandi on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.